Come here, Nick. Stay here. You know you've got a touch of God on your life. You'd be embarrassed? No? You really have got a touch of God on you. How old are you? 13 years old. My goodness. It's all right. You know, God's touched you. Holy Spirit's been on your life. It's a pretty cool thing at your age, isn't it? Like, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. And I would say to you that it's no accident, my son. It's no accident that you have been filled with a desire to worship and love me. It's okay to be you. And it's okay to be gifted in these areas. And I have put a desire in your heart to break open things. And you will see as years go on that that through what you do and the way that you drum will start to create openings in heaven that otherwise would remain closed. It's often not those warrior types. David wasn't actually, you know, he was quite, you know, creative. And there's an ability inside of you to connect to the living God. And I would encourage you to continue in those things that God has called you to do. There's going to be great times of exuberance and expression that come through what you do and who you are in God. You are a powerhouse. Don't underestimate what God will do for you. Father, the power of God just filled Nick today in Jesus' name. More, more, more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Increased flow in Jesus' name. Amen. Good on you, man.
Thanks.
Have a good rest of your service. Fantastic. All right. Here we are. So, we've taken up the offering, right? That's done. Kids have gone to kids' church. I'm only 49, okay? Next year's the big one. Young fella. I know you've got to go to Youth Connect. So, I guess you better go. Let's do that. So, yes, here
Happy
I am. Thanks, guys. Love you all back. Well, I'll preach in a minute, hey? I'll just have a drink of water first. Do you want to hear something? Well, no, I won't. I'll leave it for a bit longer. But isn't it great that we've got some good preachers in our church, like Shane Elliott in a couple of weeks' time? Who enjoys Shane's preaching? So that's going to be good. And then we've got, as a special treat, Jason Schroeder from C3 Hepburn Heights. We've managed to score big Jace. Runs a great church north of the river. Took over, of course, from John Finkelde a few years ago now. So he's coming on the 1st of December. And you know what he said to me? He says, "I don't know if I can do what you do, Nigel." And I said, "I just want you to be yourself. Can you do that?" He goes, "Yeah." So couple of things. 3rd of November, where are we going to be? Where are we going to be every Sunday if we're not away on work? Where are we going to be? In church. And I want to see, you know, Jason loves that. He only has one color people in his church, he was telling me. They're all white. But he says, I can't wait to come to your church because there's so many different cultures. And so we've got to show him that we are, all right? So 1st of December, where are we going to be? Here in church. And so, that's a good one. All right, so that'll be good. So Filipinos, Africans, Malaysians, Indians, whoever you are. Oh, I saw Budgie. What else we got? I've missed a few. There's plenty of Kiwis. Oh, we've got Samoan. What else we got in there today? American, we have. Korean, we normally got Koreans. South Africans, of course. All right. Marcel, good to have the South African contingent here this morning. There's some few others as well. Anyway, we love it. Isn't it great? Who would have thought, eh? Fremantle. Anyway, there we go. I want to talk to you this morning. We'll continue this whole Being a Disciple series. In fact, I've felt that we should continue through the book of Acts, and so Shane's going to do the same in a couple of weeks. And really felt like, let's just stay on what God's doing right now. Is that a good thing? And so I want us to be, and I'm sure you do too, there wouldn't be too many people that don't want to be more like Jesus. And so this morning, I want to put it in context, and you'll see that on every second chair too, that I've put out the Our Future, well, Helen's done it for me, the Our Future building brochures, because I just want to talk about that for, it sort of marries with what I want to talk about in Acts 5 this morning. Who's, just on that, you know, we have an incredible facility, guys. We have an amazing building, do we not? We have a building that can house hundreds of children. We have an average of around 60 each week going to kids' church. And sometimes they threaten to overtake the amount of number of adults in the service. I don't mind that. It's healthy. You know, it's an amazing thing what God has been able to establish here in Frio. And I just want to take us on a little bit of a journey. But first, I want to read some scripture to you, and the title of my message for the we've got to put this on the internet, right, Scott? We ready to go? We're good, thanks. Isn't Scott doing a good job while Dave's been away? Thanks, Scott and Jess in the sound desk this morning. So I want to talk about, this is my title, If It Is Of God, It Will Not Be Overthrown. If it is of God, it will not be overthrown. If it is of God, it will not be overthrown. You know, so let me read before I go any further. Acts 5, come with me. If you have your Bibles or your phone or whatever it is that has your Bible on it. Fortunately, the power, seriously, they weren't sure if we were going to come on. Fortunately, I've got this program that allows me to go offline with my notes. How cool is that? I know I'm not very technical, but we worked that out, so that was good. So I can preach, really, I can preach anywhere, anytime. I'm ready. So that's pretty cool. Acts 5, verse 33. This is the New Living Translation. At this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. Great way to start a message. But one member had a different perspective. He was a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert on religious law and was very popular with the people. He stood up and ordered that the apostles be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Then he addressed his colleagues as follows, "Men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was this fellow Theudas who pretended to be someone great, About 400 others joined him, but he was killed and his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got some people to follow him, but he was killed too. All his followers were scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. If they are teaching and they're doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But, come on, give me a but, God. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. Verse 40, the council accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Who's glad they weren't living back then? This was no just ordinary flogging. This was flesh off the back stuff. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. All right, we'll continue that in a little while. Whenever his people man up, turn to your neighbor and say, man up. No wimps in this place. Whenever his people man up to do the will of God, you can be sure that the road ahead is not going to be one of comfort. Oh, really? See, the church was one of the most powerful points of witness. Peter simply had to walk. This is just the last chapter we talked about a little bit last week. Peter simply had to walk past people and they would be healed. And the Bible says that the people had high regard for the church, and the reason was because they were being Jesus to their community. They were doing the same things that Jesus did. There was healings, deliverance, there was an excitement, and they were revered. When they went into the temple of God, they was a Solomon's colonnade at that point. They worshipped together. It was an experience that actually created God's will to go further into the community. And we also know from previous, what we've read in the last few chapters as well, that they were of the same heart and mind. Who thinks that's a pretty good thing to do, to be? If we're all of the same heart and mind as believers, we all have the same vision, what God has called us to do. And so they, in Acts 4:32, you can read that they actually sold property and gave willingly to the vision God had set before them. They brought their funds to the apostles' feet, the Bible says. Now, we don't bring it, you don't bring your offerings and stuff to my feet. That would be kind of like, well, it's just not what we do these days, is it? But the principle's still there. We bring our offering to who? Bring our offering to God. And we commit it to him because we like them. We recognize that, like Solomon's colonnade, we recognize the influence and power of God is greater and God cannot be overthrown. And so we will bring our offerings and we will place them at God's feet because we know that he will overcome in our life. Is that not true, guys? God will overcome. And we can have a testimony like Ben's and Avena's. And we can have testimonies like Jane's. We can have testimonies of the goodness of God, not just providing the absolute necessities, but the abundance that God has for us. God wants to bless you. Guys, I said God wants to bless you. There's no doubt, and if you've got some sort of thinking that's a poverty mindset that says that no, I've got to just get by, well, that's not what God wants. He owns everything. Come on, don't you think he wants you to have something? And so I'm committed. You know, that's why we decided we'll do this. And I want to talk a little bit about how we managed to get this building. And I know there's many new people here and people that have never even given to our building fund, which we call our future. But it just seems to marry with Acts 5 this morning. So I wanted to give it a last plug as well today. But believe me, there's something for everyone in this, not just about the building fund itself. See, I want to use this scripture, this one here, that the guys were, you know, okay, they let them go, but they were persecuted. They were flogged. See, I want to use this as a stake in the ground for the good things that God is doing in C3 Fremantle. Let's put a stake in the ground and say, I'm committed to the good things that God wants to do in my life. Yeah? I'm committed to this house where I'm going to actually, you know, put that stake in, and that is who I am. I am a believer. I trust in God. I'm going to do the things that build his house and make his kingdom stronger. So the increasing testimony of the goodness of God comes with opposition, but we will stand. And I want to talk a little bit about this, because we'll go on. So today I want to talk about some of the purposes of this building, with the intention of being that we do this together. We can continue to honor God and overcome the obstacles as we have thus far in the history of this church. We've overcome some amazing obstacles. I'll tell a story or two as we go along. And we put our faith in God, particularly those areas he has orchestrated for his church. One key thing God has done for this church is miraculously help us obtain this building. And there's a number of people involved in that. And, you know, when we were up in what we call affectionately the cave up the road, and we fit about 70 people in there, and there was literally 11 families that put down funds and said, you know what, we can make history. Someone's got to lead that. You know, there was Peter and John back in the New Testament, and I guess it was Andrew and me and some of the board and some key leaders, and there was 11 families that managed to actually provide we had a business plan with the childcare center, and there was a miraculous event there where the manager at that time had actually, he'd actually just read an article about Hillsong and in the expansion of the church, and he goes, he asked me the question, are you like Hillsong? I said, yeah, we are. God was on that thing. When God's on something, we know that God has done something quite incredible in this church and for his people. And it might not seem like much, but to God, it's an amazing thing when people are faithful to what he wants them to do in their life. Isn't that right? And so, I was telling you about my friend at the gymnasium last week, and just to say, we started another conversation this week. I've actually got two stories, that's why I was just tossing up which one to do now. And he said, he was asking me a couple of questions, and he said, so how long's the building? He was talking about the building. How long has it been here? And I said, oh, we established it in 2006. The mayor came down. He goes, what, you did it? I said, well, our church did it. He goes, wow, I didn't realize that you were the guys that did that together. And he was like, because he knows about Poor Care too and the new building. And he was going, and I says, you know the childcare? I says, yeah, well, we started that. In fact, three incredible ladies of ours actually got that childcare up and running. And he's going, what? And, you know, he's quite a successful business guy in his own right. But he was actually blown away at the things that we'd been able to do in his mind in such a short amount of time, and especially because it was the church. Yeah. See, people don't think that the church has much of anything. But I'm telling you that God's will not be overthrown. And so that started another conversation, which I'll come back to in a little while. Remind me if I forget. By the end of the message, I mean. All right? So right now, we're about $20,000 in our faith promises behind. We've actually been promised $112,000 for the year for our faith promises, but we're sitting on about $46,000. We actually need $70,000 to pay the bank in December. So I'm just doing it as a bit of a reminder this morning that we've got to be faithful to God too in the things that he, so that his will continue to go ahead and that he will not be overthrown. See, it's not an Andrea and Nigel, it's not a Charlie and Helen, it's not a Steve and Susan, it's everyone together that makes his house great. Isn't that right, guys? Every single person makes his house what it is. And I love that God has been able to, through our faith, and really beyond our size, there are churches way bigger than ours that still don't have facilities. And we can be grateful for what God has done and the leadership that has managed to establish this place in such an expensive area as Fremantle. Some of you know that for trying to buy in Fremantle recently and having to move further out. It's not cheap living in Fremantle, but God wanted to put a stake in the ground and say, nothing is impossible for me. Sorry if I get a little bit passionate about it. It's basically my wife and my family's, it's our life. God loves it. And you know what? It should be part of all our lives. It's our life together. And so I want to talk about a few things, reasons why this place is so great. One, number one, cultivating disciples who hope in God's triumph. Who hope in whose triumph? God's triumph. See, we are the kind of people who don't give in. We don't give up. We don't get lazy. We don't procrastinate because we're a people that say, if God's spoken, I will move. We are the kind of people who bank our hope in the inevitable triumph of God. We bank our hope in the inevitable triumph of God, don't we? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the reason this is true, that we always spend our money on what we value. If you want to look good, you wear nice clothes. Yeah? You wear trendy clothes or you wear cultural clothes. Fantastic, beautiful. Who likes to look good? Is there anyone that doesn't? Come on. There might be a few older men that don't really care, but we won't name them today. You some guys just don't care. Oh, comfort clothes, hey, that's all right too. If you want to stay healthy, you eat the right food, right? I think we'd all agree on that. And we've got to exercise a little bit, get the heart rate going. And if you value your child's education, you send them to the best school that you can afford. Ooh. If you value the life of people less fortunate than yourself, you give to our Leap into Spring program, right? And if you value what God is doing in his house, is there anyone that doesn't value what God is doing in his house today? Because when we value what God is doing in his house, when we value the good news, when we value the miracles, when we value the togetherness, the unity that God has created and the miracle work that he's drawn from nothing into something today, we can't help but go, you know what? I'm involved in the plan of God for the future of C3 Fremantle. See, the connection is certain. Where you put your treasure reveals your pleasure. Is it like that? Also, it's where your values, your commitments, your love, your heart lies. And our hope is in God's triumph when our outgoings align with his purposes for our lives. And one of the most incredible things about the early church was their unity toward the things that God had for them to do. Psalm says, why am I discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. One thing I know his house does is bring us together to worship him. Being together grounds us, puts us on the right playing field. Church awakens a spirit within us. I don't think there'd be too many people that once they've come to church don't feel much more implanted with what God has for them and helps them get through their week. Am I right? It's an amazing thing what God has established for his church. It's alive. His church is what? It's alive. Why? Because you're here. We all have Jesus in our hearts. It's what God intended for us. So I pray that God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in him. May you overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's in Romans 15. I don't want to talk about a sense of duty today, but rather because we truly love him more than anything else that we do in this world. So I want to go back to Gamaliel's wise advice. It's interesting that they'd broken out of prison. The Holy Spirit allowed them, the apostle, to break out of prison not long before this incident. And so the captain of the guard has gone looking for the apostles. You can imagine how they would be feeling. The captain of the guard going, well, I don't know how to keep these people. There's obviously some sort of power going on here that's not ours. You just imagine this context where everything's still locked up. The prison doors are still closed, but there's no one inside. So the captain of the guard, where does he find the people? Where does he find the apostles? Where are they? They've gone back to the temple of God. They've gone back to church. They've gone back to where the power is, and they continue to preach the word of God. And it was increasing, ever widening circles, the Bible says. And so they took them. And that's how we end up with this statement about Gamaliel and what to do with these apostles. Because, you know, that seems like they can be here, but then they can be there. And what do we do with these guys that just won't stop preaching the name of Jesus? The council's ready to kill them. Gamaliel stood up and gave some very wise advice. Let me remind you once more, you know what, men? I think we leave them alone. I mean, seriously, if these guys really are what they say they are, and they believe in God and God is for them, do we really want to come against God himself? And so, we know that they ended up releasing them, but first gave them a good flogging. Seafree Fremantle. God has done something quite incredible. It cannot be overthrown. But it takes us working together. And if we are a people who truly believe in the inevitable triumph of God, our hope as Christians is not the same as if we were not with him. The cause of God cannot be overthrown. Christian hope is simply this. It's quite simple, three words. God cannot be overthrown. Maybe it's four. God cannot be overthrown. God cannot be overthrown. Let's say it together. God cannot be overthrown. God cannot be overthrown. And so the cause of God, it cannot be overthrown, and the people of God cannot be overthrown. Isaiah says, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purposes. The Apostle Paul said, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, the angels can't, the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away from his people. Amen. And it goes on. It is the hope for the young in their vigor and vision, and it is the hope for the old, the mature, that are closer to eternity. It's the same. It is my faith, my prayer, and my commitment that everything that happens in our building will build and strengthen hope in God. Is it yours? Whose cause and people cannot be overthrown. Secondly, cultivating people who promote God's work. Our building exists to help cultivate the kind of people who will not oppose a genuine work of God, but seek to promote it and approve it according to the truth of God. One of the most significant things we did as a church a few years ago was go back to what God originally told Andrew and I to do. It's written on these walls. Love God, each other, the community. It comes from Matthew 22, 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. I'm so grateful for the words that God speaks that help us belong together as his family. And when I look at the early church, it convinces me to stay on the path of being his disciple, experiencing the same things the believers did. Gamaliel began his speech to the council. Watch out how you treat these men, these apostles of Jesus. And at the end of the speech, he said, you might even be found opposing God. If you oppose the work of God, you oppose God. This is not dissimilar to our own story. God has enabled us to stand in this house. The obvious thing God has for us to do collectively is to continue to stand in his place, in this place, and continue to do those things which cause his name to be great on all the earth. Isn't that why we meet together? To cause his name to be great on the earth. It's not dissimilar because back in those days, I don't know if we need to turn the tape off for a second or whatever it is, but you know, we had council members wanting to literally attack us. I remember a story where a couple of our ladies went and met with one of the councillors, and it was like fearing for their lives. How dare you? And it was at that time and at that moment where we, as a team, we thought together and thought, well, this is getting really tricky. But as you know today, God's will overcame all those situations. See, God's will can't be overthrown. And if you're going through a situation where you think it's a little tricky, or you're going through a circumstance in your life where you think, I don't know if this is right, and people around you are going, I don't know anymore what's right and what's wrong, you stick with what God has put in your heart through the truth of his word, and you continue, because God's will not be overthrown, and he will look out for you, and he will find a way to get you through. He's our God. He's alive. He loves us. He cares for us. And I'm aware that not too many of the church right now were aware of some of these situations back then. It wasn't that long ago. See, I believe that God has a plan to revive in this area, don't you? Am I the only one? I believe God wants to do something. He started something, and I believe he wants to continue something. And in our mind, it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, next year. God's got a different plan. We've just got to continue to do what he's called us to do. God's going to do it. God's going to do more than what's already happening. But what we have now is not bad. Yeah? So let's not be depressed or go to that zone if you're a melancholic. Let's get into the presence of God and go, you know what, Lord, as for me and my household, I'm going to continue to serve God. We will promote the work of God in this place, and I think God wanted us to do it, because otherwise the opposition would have been too great and God would not have overcome, but he did. 3. Cultivating people who rejoice in persecution. We don't know much about this, but hey, we've got different cultures here, so some of you do. How do you rejoice when you're getting persecuted? All right. We were accused of all sorts of unbelievable things before we got this building approved. Incredible things. They were all untrue. And my pet hate one is that we ended up having to spend $60,000 Some of you know this, I know, but I just love saying it. We had to spend $60,000 on, I probably do need inner healing for this one, $60,000 on an environmental report to show that the air on this side of the road was the same as the air on the other side of the road. Seriously. It was the most bizarre thing I had. And it was like, do we do this or not, wasn't it, Greg Moore? And thinking to myself, well, I don't want to do that. But if we didn't do that, if we didn't play the game the way that they wanted it, I had to come to the conclusion that God would win anyway. But you know what made it worse on that particular day? When the tests were being done and it was the official day and the council were taking their readings, the lawnmower men came to do the verge, and there's grass spraying everywhere and there's dust everywhere, and suddenly for that 1 hour period the thing spiked. And we had to write letters saying the Fremantle Council had their mowers on. The air is the same on this side of the road as that side of the road. We all know that. But I'm telling you, when there's a spiritual battle for God's will, when there's something that God wants to establish, sometimes you've got to push through. And in your life, will you just continue to push through on those things that you know are the will of God for your life? All right. Maybe it's time for that story about what that other story. You know, my friend at the gym, he took his earphones out because he likes to listen to music while he's working out. He says, Nigel, sort of like, we're blokes, right, at the gym, and there's lots of people around. He kind of stand up for a sec. You hunk of a man, you. Says that, stand so, that's right. And he goes, Nigel. It's all right. I'm not going to hurt you, I promise. He goes, Nigel. He goes, the other day when you prayed for my heart, you rocked my world, man.
Really?
And I said, wow. You know, God really cares about you. He's kind of like wanting to shake my hand all the time, you know, like, and he says, I didn't realize that people could care that much. Here, sit down. And he shook my hand 3 times because guys don't really, it was like a hug moment, you know, but. What has that got to do with today? Well, I think it's got everything to do with today. God loves his house. God loves his people being his disciples. God loves the passion and power that come from serving him in this place. You know, we need to serve to the end. We need to commit to our rosters. Let's do it where the rubber meets the road. We can't be changing all the time and bringing other people to try and fill in all the gaps. No, why? Because it stops what God wants to do and his will being achieved. And if we're going to be together, then we've got to commit to some things together. Let's be God's army. Let's commit to the cause of Christ. And let the love of God pervade throughout wherever we are in life. Let's see his house revered by others like it was in the New Testament. Who'd like that about our church? It happens because we all play our part. And this morning I would like us to, even if you've had your brochures before we finish up, come with me to our future. You know, in Acts 17 it says that in the case of the early church, that it actually says that the Christians turned the world upside down. And I look at this brochure, and many of you, I don't know if you've made any promises or not. But I just wanted to give an opportunity for people to go, you know what, I'd like to commit. You can do this electronically. All we're really asking today is that you put your name on here if you're not already committed. If you're already committed, that's fine, that's great. We love your generosity. If this is a wake-up for you, you haven't been doing your promises today, you know, let's show the ANZ Bank that God's bigger. Yeah? It just happens to be. But I'd love to have a great Christmas, and I don't want the pressure of this thing, just from a personal point of view. So we have to pay it on every Christmas Eve. And I reckon God's bigger. If we've had promises for 112,000, I know it goes to the end of February, but I reckon we could achieve 70 by the end of the year. If you'd like to commit to that, why don't you fill that in now? We're going to take a little bit of time. If you want to do that, just fill in one of the cards. Has everyone got one? Just give me a wave if anyone needs a brochure, and the ushers will get you one. If you'd like to say, you know what, I'd like to be a part of this. I'd like to be a part of the future of this house. You know, whether we have a mortgage on this place, that's why what we do use the money for. But really, our tithes and offerings should go for the ministry of God's house, right? Everything to do with the ministry. And if our promises get met, we can pay our mortgage, no problem. And everything goes according to the way that we've planned. But right now, we're having to eat into the tithes and offerings, and I'd like that to turn around. And I think that that's what God has for his place, for this house. God loves it when we stand and put a stake in the ground and go, you know what? I'm trusting God. This is my house. I believe in it. As little or as much, I'm going to commit to the promise of God for this house. Who'd like to see more good news? It happens because we're here. We have this house. Acts 5:40. This is amazing to me. After they had been beaten, this is another translation, they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus. What did they do? They went directly back out and started preaching the name of God. We just got flogged for the name of Jesus. What an incredible kind of faith these people had. Father, today, we pray in Jesus' name, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And thank you, Lord, for the strength and the strengthening of your house. And as we come up against opposition, Father, we push through in Jesus' name in our situations, and we put our hope in your future for our lives. The people of God said, amen. So if you'd like, thanks, Janelle, Shane, if you'd like a little bit more time, but otherwise we're going to take up the cards if anyone. So let's do that, guys. Thanks, Gus. Let's take up we'll do the buckets in case people want to put a card in right now. You can also do this at the bookshop afterwards. You can give it at the information desk if you're not ready to do that. But I'd like to see our future get stronger. Our hope is in God. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Let's worship. Oh, we've got to take up the offering, don't we? Sorry. Let's do that first. Let's take up the offering. Well, the faith promise card, if people want to do that. Thanks, God.